You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine, 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, March the 13th. Well, among other things, Wisconsin Democratic U.S. Representative Dave Obey of Wausau told anti-war protesters last week that idiot liberals need to know the difference between funding the troops and ending the war. Obey apologized for yelling at the protesters who were dogging him last week outside his office, and he swore at them at the end of this exchange.
We ain't got the votes for it. We do have the votes. If you guys quit screwing it up, we do have the votes to end the legal authority for the war. That's the same as defunding it.
Well, one transcript of that exchange says Obey told the protesters to go bug someone else, but others say he dropped the F word. Well, anyway, Obey did apologize for yelling at the anti-war activists during that exchange, which was captured on video and posted on YouTube, but he remained unrepentant about calling some of the protesters idiot liberals. He was interviewed moments after his apology, and he said, "I think that anyone who thinks that I can wave a magic wand and produce 218 votes needed for a House majority to pass an immediate cutoff to the war in the teeth of a presidential opposition is, in fact, an idiot." We're going to talk about these remarks and this exchange and the liberals who want to end the war and how that might happen during this hour with a variety of guests. We will be welcoming in Mike Simonson, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Superior, who has interviewed Dave Obey many, many times, and also can talk about some protests that are happening outside his office here at home. And we will be welcoming in an anti-war activist who was in Washington, Tina Richards, a little later in this half hour. And then we will talk with political science professor Charles Franklin. And with you at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. Well, let's get to it and welcome in our first guest, Mike Simonson, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Superior. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So, are you surprised at this exchange that was caught on video and posted on YouTube featuring Dave Obey?
Tell you what, that YouTube is something else, isn't it? I mean, it's got all of us looking around. I don't think he knew he was on camera because the whole video was shot with Obey's back to the camera.
Yeah.
As far as the sharpness of the exchange, Obey has always been a person who has said exactly how he has felt. I think he is frustrated with the protests that have been going on in Superior and Wausau and D.C. in his office because he believes, and last week talked about it on Thursday to Wisconsin reporters, that he and Nancy Pelosi have a plan that will force the administration to remove troops next year.
Yeah.
And one of the reporters said, "Well, why not remove them by the end of this year?" He said, "I'd love to remove them by the end of this year, but the votes aren't there." And he says, "As it is, it's going to be a very close vote in both houses." And he believes with this plan, removing troops by March 1st, if the president doesn't meet certain criteria, or at the latest August of 08, is the plan that he can get enough votes on. And even then, he says he's not sure. But Obey's a pretty smart guy, a pretty pragmatic guy, and he doesn't suffer fools too well. Not to say those people were foolish, but he believes he has a plan, and I think to be pestering him like that probably is a bit counterproductive.
Yeah, Obey, you would think, would be someone the anti-war protesters would be grateful for, and that he does want to bring some end about. Why are the protesters in front of his offices here at home and in Washington?
Well, you know, the head of the Appropriations Committee, which holds the purse strings, and a lot of war protesters, rightfully so, believe that that is a way to get to Bush, because the Bush administration is otherwise not listening to protesters, so they're going where they can go, but at the same time, they're probably preaching to the choir. Obi has been against the war, has never voted for the war, unlike a lot of other members of Congress. So I think that frustrates him, and also one of his opponents in the last election, Mike Miles, is a part of Nuke Watch and an anti-war protester and a person who's traveled to Iraq, and he organizes a lot of this stuff too. So, you know, there could be an element of politics in there as well.
Yeah, and there have been some protests and arrests here in Wisconsin outside of his offices.
Yeah, it's the peaceful kind. You know, we won't leave, and you know, it's to make a point to draw publicity, but. Obi has a plan, and I think it's the first, I know it's the first plan by congressional leadership to have the troops removed. It's not a non-binding resolution, or it's not just a plan by one person of Congress, but it's a plan that also has a sponsor in the Senate, and Obi's a pragmatic guy, and he thinks this is as possible as it is, and as he told reporters on Thursday before the YouTube incident, he was talking about how so many people want troops gone now or by the end of this year or never out at all, and he says, you know, he needs their votes too, and so.
Yeah, and briefly, Mike, because we're coming up on weather break time, this YouTube exchange isn't going to hurt Dave Obi politically here at home, is it, or is it?
No. You know, Dave Obi is a to-the-point, sharp person, and if he doesn't believe a person has their facts, he will let them know. And that doesn't matter if it's a protester or a reporter. Whenever I call for an interview for Dave Obi, who, by the way, is pretty available, makes himself available and answers questions, but, man, if I don't have my facts, he'll chew me up and spit me out, and he kind of likes me.
And, in fact, we did call Dave Obi's office to see if he'd like to join during this hour, but apparently he was not available. But I know he talks to you, Mike, so thanks for talking to us.
You bet.
Mike Simonson, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Superior. More on this after the weather break. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Are you going to be voting against the supplemental?
Absolutely not. I'm the sponsor of the supplemental.
For the to continue the war?
It doesn't. The president wants to continue the war. We're trying to use the supplemental to end the war, but you can't end the war if you vote against the supplemental. It's time these idiot liberals understand that there's a hell of a difference between defunding the troops and ending the war. I'm not going to deny body armor. I'm not going to deny funding for veterans hospitals and for defense hospitals so you can help people who've got medical problems. That's what you do if you vote against that bill.
That was U.S. Representative Dave Obi, a Wausau Democrat, talking with our next guest. This was the exchange that was captured on video and posted on YouTube, in which Obi said that some anti-war protesters are idiot liberals that need to know the difference between funding the troops and ending the war. He was talking with Tina Richards, who is an anti-war activist, mother of a Marine, and a member of Military Families Speak Out Midwest, also the CEO of Grassroots America, which she founded. And we'll talk with her about Dave Obi's position on this and hers. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. What do you think about what Dave Obi has to say? Is he right or not? Tina Richards, good morning.
Good Good morning, Joy.
That was you talking to Dave Obey, the exchange that's getting a lot of attention these days.
Yes, and I found it very surprising. Really, the only thing I had known about Representative Obey was the fact that he was the chairman of the appropriation. He was writing the supplemental that would continue the funding for the war. And I had joined in the creative choices against, or for nonviolence, and I had, as part of the occupation project, to rally against the supplemental, and because it will continue the funding for this war. And it gives George Bush, this particular supplemental does give George Bush four loopholes to continue this the continuance of this war long past August 8th of 2008.
Yeah.
But it would be after the elections before the people realized that the troops weren't going to be able to come home under this supplemental. I mean, and really, I know that, I guess, that Representative Obey is a darling of a lot of people, and I only released it to show the level of frustration between us that want peace and Congress in there that obviously he hates the war too. I have no doubt of that, and he's frustrated, and we're just trying to find a way to get our troops home and to stop the killing and the maiming of our troops and the killing and the maiming of the Iraqi people.
Yeah. Now, what about, though, what Dave Obey says, that he can't deny funding for veterans' hospitals and defense hospitals, and that the votes aren't there to defund the war?
Well, first of all, to attach those type of fundings to justify the killing and maiming of more troops, I think, is a disingenuous argument. I don't understand why George Bush's bill was not dead on arrival when it came to Congress. They now have the power that they can scrap his bill, and they can write their own that fully funds the withdrawal of the troops, plus pays for all the health care, pays for everything else. So to say that we have to make more wounded veterans in order to pay to take care of those wounded veterans, I just think is a disingenuous argument. And that's some of the things that I would like to talk with him about.
Yeah. You don't like Dave Obey and Nancy Pelosi's bill that would set this timetable and bring troops home if there isn't progress in Iraq?
But it doesn't. And that was, and nobody's actually seen the supplemental yet. And the closest it's come to it was that I actually did get to sit down with somebody that helped David Obey write the bill. And he started listing all the exceptions of what, after August of 08, what troops can remain there. And all of those loopholes give George Bush that he can continue the war indefinitely. It is, and every time that they keep putting more loopholes in it to get more votes, and they use the Republican talking points, such as, we're going to put VA health care in. If you vote against it, you're voting against health care. They're not going to get the votes. And I just don't understand why they keep using Republican talking points on the funding for the war, because this really is what it's about. Are they going to continue the funding for the war? No matter what bells and whistles they put on it to make it look pretty, they are continuing the funding for the war. And I like Nancy Pelosi as far as everything I've seen, except for even, Congress people that have been in the Out of Iraq caucus that sincerely are really working towards wanting the war to end. Even they have said that, this approach is not going to work. And Nancy Pelosi is running this like a hierarchy. And, and that they're being told, this is what you're going to do, rather than them being able to represent the people. So there's already a lot of frustration and a lot of split among the Progressive Caucus and the Out of Iraq Caucus with the Democratic leadership, which David Obey is the chairman of the appropriations.
Let me bring some callers in. Lots of people want to talk with you. Ann in Madison is first. Hi, Ann.
Hi. Well, Bush has asked and Cheney have asked that no strings be attached to any of his appropriations for the so-called war in Iraq. And I think, you know, Nancy Pelosi and Dave Obey and a whole bunch of other people in Congress are used to being stepped on, and they haven't provided any resistance. The fact is that this money doesn't go to the troops. The troops are operating. It's like the charge of the Light Brigade. They're lambs going to slaughter. And I think that maybe, you know, I've always loved Dave Obey, but I think maybe it's time for him to recognize that there's a limit to his effectiveness in Congress. And if these Democrats don't stand up to Bush, Bush is going to use them as people who aid in his own self-enrichment, let's say that.
Tina Richards?
And I agree with that. That's part of why I wanted to open up dialogue with them. And first of all, to show the pains that the families, the military families out here are suffering. And but to also open up the dialogue that they don't have to go with Bush's bill. They have the power. They were given the mandate by the people to get us out of Iraq. And if they work off of their own and start standing up off their own and not use Republican talking points, I really believe they could get the votes. And I want to work with them. I helped elect, you know, Claire McCaskill of Missouri, trying to get her in there because she said she was against the war and she wanted the war to end. But when she got in, she said, well, I want the war to end, but I don't want to criticize George Bush. And I'm thinking, wait a second, you didn't say that before the election. And I just really want the people that say they're against the war, the Congress people that say they're against the war, to vote their conscience and to let them know that they can't continue the funding for this war.
Thank you, Ann. David in Madison is next. Hello, David.
Thank you for taking my call. I am an anti-war activist, and I will be marching against this war this Saturday, 12:30 at the Library Mall in Madison. But I also support our political process, and I am actually glad to see Congress finally passing binding legislation that would end this war. And I see it as a progression. First, there was the non-binding resolution. Now there's binding legislation putting an end time and sending certain measures that need to be met and so forth. And I think it's up to us, the anti-war movement, to keep up pressure on the Bush administration and on Congress so that they will pass further, more binding resolution that would end funding for this war, which I hope would end tomorrow. So I invite the guests to come to Madison and anybody else who's listening, 12:30 at the Library Mall end of State Street.
You'll be there, right, Tina Richards?
Actually, I'll be here at the March on the Pentagon here in Washington, D.C. So,
you want to, in our final minute, just kind of summarize or react to our caller?
Yes. And I know the legislative process is very, it's very deliberate and it takes a long time. And but there is a lot of legislators out there that I've talked to, Lynn Woolsey and Lees and Waters, and they have some really terrific ideas. They have 508, H.R. 508. There are some better alternatives than the funding of the war. And not only that, but this funding of the war with the binding legislations has waivers on almost all of it. And it is not going to get our troops home, even in August of 08. I'm really hoping to have the troops home by Christmas. That gives plenty of time to help put forth the diplomatic solutions that Iraq needs to help with the stabilization there. And that's what I'm hoping for. I don't want more families to go like with me, where I didn't know if my son was going to even be alive on Christmas Day.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Tina Richards, anti-war activist. This is the Ideas Network. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36 on this Tuesday morning, March the 13th. Here's Democratic U.S. Representative Dave Obey of Wausau in an exchange with an anti-war protester outside of his office in Washington, D.C. last week.
We don't have the votes to pass it. We couldn't even get the votes to pass a non-binding resolution 1 week ago. How the hell do you think we're going to get the votes to cut off the war?
You want me to vote? The funding.
How if you don't have the votes? It takes 200
filibuster his supplemental request.
There is no filibuster in the House.
Well, in the Senate, they could do it.
I'm sorry, I vote. I'm sorry. I'm not going to vote for it. I'm the sponsor of the bill that's going to be on the floor, and that bill ends the war. If that isn't good enough for you, you're smoking something that ain't legal.
No, I'm not, sir.
That exchange was captured on video, posted on the YouTube internet site, and it also included sharper exchanges than that, including Obi telling protesters to go bleep with somebody else. He did apologize, Dave Obi, on Friday for yelling at the anti-war activists, but he remained unrepentant about calling some of them idiot liberals. He said, I think that anyone who thinks that I can wave a magic wand and produce 218 votes needed to pass an immediate cutoff to the war is, in fact, an idiot. 1-800-642-1234. We welcome your thoughts and questions about this exchange and whether or not there is, as Dave Obi says, a difference between funding the troops and ending the war. We heard from one of the anti-war activists in our last half hour who was pressuring Dave Obi. And now we will hear from Charles Franklin, a professor of political science at UW-Madison, author of the blog Political Arithmetic, co-developer and contributor to Pollster.com. Professor Franklin, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Yeah, so why are these anti-war activists dogging Dave Obi?
You talked to Tina Richards a little bit about that in the first half mm-hmm. hour. I think that, first of all, he's the chair of the Appropriations Committee, and as he said in the video clip, sponsor of the supplemental appropriation. So it makes perfectly good sense to lobby the head of the Appropriations Committee. But the other thing that it represents is the anti-war side lobbying people who are themselves opposed to the war.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the things that came out in Obi's ultimate response and actually to some extent from Tina Richards and her supporters as well, that this was an argument between people who agree on the goal but are having a hard time agreeing on how to get to that goal.
Yeah. And is Dave Obi going to be hurt at all politically over this exchange and it being posted on YouTube?
Right. On the one hand, I would say to listeners, go look at it yourself and see mm-hmm. how you see it. My personal view is that, no, I don't think so. While he certainly raised his voice and expressed frustration, I at least don't see things in that video that should be damaging to him in the long run.
Yeah. Well, why don't you expand on his comments when he says it's time these idiot liberals understand that there's a hell of a difference between me funding the troops and ending the war.
Yeah, this is first of all, of course, there's the way he expressed mm-hmm. that. Idiot liberals might not perhaps be the best way to use that in public. And we should talk about the public side of YouTube mm-hmm. as part of this discussion. Mm-hmm. But the frustration there is the issue of how large is the majority in the House and in the Congress against the war and for an immediate withdrawal. And I think there is really the key to the exchange from a political point of view. Obi says repeatedly, I don't have the votes. I don't have the 218 votes to do what you want. And so it's idiot liberals who think we can when we don't have the votes. And that's spoken like a member of Congress, thinking about this in terms of the only thing you can do is what you can get a majority to go along with. And that's the reality on the Hill. It also reflects the division in the public, because while small majorities are now opposed to the war, the size of the public that is ready for an immediate withdrawal is not a majority, is not close to a majority. CBS News and the New York Times have a new poll out from the weekend, and they asked people whether they thought the troops should be increased, kept the same, decreased, remove all the troops gradually, or all at once. And the all at once was only 13%, and remove all troops either gradually or all at once was 28%. Now, that's the problem from Dave Obi's point of view, is that while the public is very skeptical about the war, very disappointed in the way it's been run, very angry with the way the Bush administration has run it, it's still a minority of the public that is strongly behind a forceful withdrawal of all of our troops and with a short timeline.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that Dave Obey thinks the majority of the public also doesn't want to deny anybody body armor, as he said in this exchange. I'm not going to deny funding for veterans' hospitals and defense hospitals.
Clearly, one of the problems with cutting off the funds is that it's very easy for the Republicans in the White House to portray any cut of funds as being a cut to the troops and their safety. That's one of the easiest little bits of political spin you could do. And so the difficulty here is how to use the leverage of the purse, the power of the purse that Congress has, while at the same time not seeming to put the troops in harm's way. And again, a variety of Democratic proposals have floated around for how to do something like that. But at the moment, none of them seem to have majority support on the Hill.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about YouTube as a player in all this.
Well, you know, this is this year's or last year's change in the political environment. We saw it most strikingly with Senator George Allen in Virginia, who was caught on videotape saying bad things that got him in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And now with both the just general popularity of YouTube, but with people on all political sides seeing the opportunity to monitor what politicians say, how they say it, and given the size of a video camera, this has become ubiquitous. And politicians are, I think, still learning how to behave when literally their every word, their every action can be caught on camera and then widely distributed. And so I think YouTube has really played an important role there in what you might call popular journalism, the opportunity for any ordinary person to make news with a video camera. Now, that may mean that members of Congress have to become more cautious, more restrained. I think the flip side of the Obey incident is you could say, well, this is the way a guy behaves when he's in the midst of doing politics. And he's forceful, he's outspoken, he uses a term like idiot liberals that maybe he would rather not use in a public way. But there's always the possibility that that camera is there. The one other thing is that we have to understand that while all us political junkies went to YouTube real quick to see the video, that doesn't mean that it has an audience anything like even a small cable network.
Yeah. Let's check our weather forecast and then welcome in calls for Charles Franklin, a professor of political science at UW-Madison, talking with us about the exchange that Congressman Dave Obey of Wisconsin had with some anti-war protesters outside of his Washington, D.C. office last week that resulted in a video of that exchange being posted on YouTube, where he calls the protesters, or at least says that idiot liberals need to know the difference between funding the troops and ending the war in Iraq, among other things. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 13 minutes before 8 o'clock. Coming up after 8, who should control the oil in Iraq? The Iraqi government or foreign oil companies? We'll talk about it coming up after 8 o'clock. We're talking with Charles Franklin, UW-Madison, professor of political science, about the exchange between Dave Obey and anti-war protesters outside his office last week, in which some sharp words were exchanged, including Dave Obey saying that idiot liberals need to understand the difference between funding the troops and ending the war. And our first caller is Bernie in Elkhorn. Hi, Bernie. You're on the air.
Good morning. Unfortunately, I think the guest is probably correct about the low percentage of American people who support a complete withdrawal now. I am among those people. I view this as immoral and just as if you broke into somebody's house and stole their stuff and then deified the people who did it. But I'll say this about Dave Obey. I think he's a politician, like 99% of the people in Washington. I think he's playing both sides of the coin. I think the man is weak. I think he and the Democrats in general have supported this occupation and our militarism and warmongering in general. I think he's trying to play both sides. I think the argument about supporting the troops is completely bogus, because all you have to do is bring them home and they're saved, rather than keep them on this immoral and illegal mission under false pretenses. He's just a lying politician. I don't care about what language he uses. He can use expletives all day long. I care about his position, and his position is completely wrong. And he's too little of a human being to admit that he lacks any kind of moral authority, and he's just pandering to the people.
Professor Franklin, one of the things that Dave Obey said in that exchange that I played before the segment, he said, "I am the sponsor of the bill that's going to be on the floor, and that bill ends the war." If that isn't good enough for you, you're smoking something illegal.
Yeah. First of all, Bernie says there are 99% politicians in D.C. I think he underestimates that. Closer to 100%, Bernie. Mm-hmm. But Bernie's point of view is exactly the division here. Obey, I think, has, in fact, by his record, been opposed to the war, but not opposed enough to satisfy Bernie, and not opposed enough to satisfy Tina Richards and those that want the war to end immediately. I think the issue here is, what strategy can those who are most opposed to the war follow that could ultimately bring about a vote to end it, whether by cutting off funds or withdrawing troops or whatever? And what does that sort of political campaign look like? The frustration here is that after 4 years of fighting, we don't see an end in sight, and it's likely to continue on. Ultimately, we're going to have an election in 2008 that probably has more to do with how the war actually ends than anything else. And anyone who wants the troops out now can never be very happy with that situation, because it's exactly the frustration of an immoral war that should have been ended already, from Bernie's point of view and from the anti-war folks' point of view. But the political reality is, how do you shape public opinion and support in Congress to get to that point? And this is always the question of, do you have to be 100% with me to be on my side or not?
Thank you, Bernie. John in Pound is with us. Hello, John.
Yes, good morning. As a former first sergeant and a military retiree, I just want to say, we shouldn't have gone in there to begin with. But we are there, and we do have a moral responsibility. If you look back at Vietnam, the war I fought in, we left, and when we left, the dominoes fell. We lost millions of people in Cambodia and Laos because our quick withdrawal. We have to get out of Iraq. We shouldn't have gone in there to begin with. I certainly concur. As far as the number of casualties, I sympathize with many of the troops that I have lost and were lost in this war here, but we haven't lost that many. If you would look at what is really has happened in other wars, and this is not a war, it hasn't been declared a war, but it certainly has something very important that we have to consider, and that is consequences.
Yeah.
The consequences of how many people will die as a result of our leaving there.
Yeah.
John,
I appreciate your thoughts on the war itself, but I'm also wondering what you think. So then, do you think these anti-war protesters who are engaging Dave Obey?
I think they have, long as they don't destroy any structures, I wish that that would be reduced considerably. I really do. They have a point. We shouldn't be there, but we can't leave immediately. We can't. We have to consider the consequences.
Yeah. Professor Franklin?
Well, John's concern about the consequences is exactly one of the pieces that's driving this public opinion results that I've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people that would completely agree with his perspective that this was a mistaken war, we shouldn't have gone there, and so on. But then who worry about what's the obligation we've acquired by having done it? And does that mean that if we pulled out, bad things would follow? What would be those bad things? How does our continued presence there avoid that? For the people that want to pull out immediately, that will solve the problem of our troops being shot at, and it will end our involvement. But there's not a whole lot of discussion coming from the anti-war side about what that means about a moral obligation that we did, or they can argue did not, undertake when we chose to invade that country.
Thank you, John. Paul in La Crosse is with us now. Hi, Paul.
Hi. I don't think that Dave Wilby didn't see the camera, but I do think that he knew exactly what he was doing. He was playing to his audience, which is the middle third of the Congress. These are the swing voters that he has to bring over to his side to support that piece of legislation he's cooking. And if he'd been weak, if he hadn't stood up to what the people he calls idiot liberals, people would have said, well, he's just speaking on their behalf. He's not an honest broker. This, shows that even the people that he agrees with being against the war, when they're wrong, he's going to tell them they're wrong, and it just strengthens his hand.
Professor Franklin?
Yeah, I would largely go along with what Paul says. I think earlier one of the callers was saying they're all politicians and they all lie and whatnot, but I think the flip side is Paul's version of it, that they're politicians who want to get things passed and want to show real legislative accomplishment, and they've come to learn what it takes to get that accomplishment, and it's hard. It's very hard to put together the 218 votes that Obi kept talking about. And so anything that a member of Congress that wants to pass legislation has to do is keep in mind what are the arguments that I can get my colleagues to go along with, and for better or for worse, members of Congress are quite sensitive to public opinion and public opinion back home, and trying to convince someone to vote for something that their constituents are opposed to or are not fully on board on is a very, very hard thing to do.
John in Park Falls sends this as an email. Dave Obi is anything but weak. He is a realist. He has great anti-war credentials, and he knows what he can do with the numbers he has available. Those of us who know and revere Dave Obi are familiar with his temper and his occasional outbursts. He gets frustrated, but we trust him. This YouTube business will not alter that. A reaction, Professor Franklin?
That's a great piece of from a supporter, obviously, of when a congressman has built a relationship with their constituents, at least this one in particular, that incidents like this can be framed in a way that actually redound to the credit of the congressman rather than are a problem for them. And again, this is why I think it's unlikely to be a big deal for OB over the long run, is that he has a very long history with the district and is, I think, in general in good shape with his constituents. And John's email is a good example of that. Yeah.
We go to Paul and Merrill now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Two things. One is I have in front of me a transcript of Obi's clashes with anti-war activists that appeared in the Daily Herald. And there are three sentences here which I think are really worth looking at. They are, this is Obi speaking, "The language we have in the resolution ends the authority for the war. It makes it illegal to proceed with the war. You don't have to fund something if the war doesn't exist." So I take it here that Obi is saying that the resolution he's proposing here, to quote him, ends the authority for the war, makes it illegal to proceed with the war. I've not heard that before, and I've not heard anybody explain why that's the case.
Yeah, can you explain that, Professor Franklin?
No, I'll let Mr. Obi do that. Now, I don't mean that to sound like I'm questioning him, but I'm not familiar with the details of the resolution, and I assume this is one of those arguments about whether his view of the language is what other people would agree with.
There's another thing, and my wife took off the Internet something from Obi's website, and here's a sentence that appears on that. "The bill grants the president the authority to depart from his own military guidelines. All he has to do is give himself a waiver and face the country with a report explaining why," which seems to contradict the remark given in the transcript.
Yeah,
on the one hand, he's making the war illegal. On the other hand, the bill grants the president the authority to depart from his own military guidelines.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but since I'm not familiar with these details, I'm really not going to be able to parse that.
Right.
It seems to me the details are where it's at.
Well, I agree.
Yeah, right.
I'm just not well-informed enough these particular details.
Well, and thank you, Paul, for sharing that information. Maybe we can follow up a little bit more closely on those details in a future program. But in conclusion, Professor Franklin, it sounds like the anti-war protesters and activists say they're not giving up on this sort of thing, that they're going to continue dogging all members of Congress they think will make a difference.
Right, absolutely. Mm. And it should be said that if the alternative is for the protesters to give up and go home, then certainly they'll never achieve their goals. So it shouldn't be taken as something that says it's hopeless from their point of view. I just think the realistic view from the outside, from the analyst's point of view, is that what's driving this debate is unhappiness with the war, mm-hmm. a shift to a Democratic majority, but not a majority that's overwhelmingly ready for an immediate pullout.
Yeah.
And as far as the strongest anti-war folks are, they want that immediate withdrawal, and that's where we're not.
Thank you so much for being with us. We're out of time.
Always fun.
Yeah, Charles Franklin, professor of political science at UW-Madison. This is the Ideas Network.